Welcome to the Lizzie and Events podcast, and today we've got a very special guest. And before I start talking about what we're going to be talking about, welcome to Don Harradine.
And thank you for inviting me to take part in the podcast. Thank you.
Great. Now, we're going to be talking about business, finance, all sorts of things that apply to our community members. But this podcast, and probably a subsequent podcast, will be useful to anybody who is running a small business. And as you listen to it, you might find that some of the inferences will be very helpful to one's personal finance. But first, before we go any further, and we're talking about money, which is an extremely important aspect of our lives, I think it would be fair for people to know who is offering the advice. And Dom, could you perhaps give us a little bit of an idea of your background?
Of course. My name's Dr. Don Harradine, and since 1984, I've been a member of the Institute of Chartered Management Accountants, so an accountant by background. I have an MBA and various other qualifications in business and finance. And my experience is primarily in large organizations. I spent a lot of time working in health, and eventually I worked in academia. And during that time in academia, I did consultancy in various types of organizations, wrote quite a lot with regards to how businesses ought to and public service organizations should manage their finances, with a particular emphasis on organizational strategy. And for years, I ran various programs and courses which were aimed at public service and private sector organizations. And that was private sector organizations, not just in the UK, but internationally as well.
So
I might just say, for those of you that would say, well, what does he know about my business? I come from a background where all of my family ran their own businesses. And I became an accountant primarily because every Saturday my dad would make me sit down and do the accounts for him. So I have an extensive idea about what it's like running a small business.
And so if you're listening to this, don't believe that the weight and the immense depth and breadth of Dom's knowledge will not be pertinent to you. You will learn so much here because, as Dom knows, we've had many conversations on a one-to-one basis. I myself was involved in, and still am involved in, business of some degree, and at one stage it was quite heavy duty. So what I'd like to say is that everything that we talk about will be useful to people, and we'll cover some quite interesting ground. So, Dom, where do we start? Let's just consider the present situation. If you're a small business, you'll obviously have had a great deal of loss in turnover and trade over the last few months. But you feel it's important that you mustn't neglect your supply chain. Why is that, Dom?
Well, I just preface that a little bit to say, with regards to anything I might say, hopefully I'm not going to tell anybody anything that should be new to them. And that everything that I will say will be common sense. And as my father said to me once, he said, "What have you been learning at the business school?" And I told him, and he said, "My goodness, you went to a business school to learn that, did you? What on earth's wrong?" Anyway, with talking about supply chains, the problem every business will have is the need to look after each other And that may sound a little bit strange for an accountant to say, but supply chains are essential for most businesses. You need to have, one, trust in the quality that's coming through here. Secondly, you need to be very sure that when you order something, it's going to turn up when you need it. And that is the key to what you want. Now, most of you, if you put your minds back to when you first started, maybe you were lucky to get the people working with you that you have now on the supply chain, or maybe you remember the pain of going around trying to find the right people to supply you with the right products. Now, that is a memory to hang on to, because if you start to have problems with your suppliers, what do you do? Now, you've got options. Do you say, well, look, you don't seem to be coming up with the goods that I need, etc., because of the problems you've got. I'm really going to have to jettison you and find somebody else. Or do you cut them slack? Do you allow them to say, okay, I've got problems, and my suggestion to you is that you work with them very, very carefully. You take care of them. And this is the idea that I talked to Ian quite a lot about. Lizzie and Events, they're very careful with the people they work with. They've taken time to develop the relationships. They know who they can trust and who they don't trust. Now, this is for them. They know who the people are that they work with. It's got to be the same for most businesses. You may want to use it as an excuse to say that person was never actually working that well as a supplier, therefore I'll take this as an opportunity to get rid of them. Maybe. But if they've been very good in the past, you need to start to understand that they're probably doing their best, cut them slack, and live through this, because this is what we have. We have unusual times, very unusual times. It may be that you may have problems providing the payments to them as quickly as you want, but therefore you need to talk to them. You need to make sure that they understand those problems. And if the relationships have worked well, then you should find that it will be okay. Just think about the cost of having to go and find a whole new supply chain for your business. And the cost of that is going to be considerable. You might want to think about those as well that you supply. Those people that you supply, maybe they're going to have trouble with their cash flow. And that is probably the biggest burden that most businesses are going to experience. Most businesses don't go out of business because they're not making profits. Most will go out of business because their cash flow doesn't work. And what you need to make sure is that those people that you're waiting for payment from understand their problems. Are they worth hanging on to in the long term? If they are worth hanging on to in the long term, then give them some slack. You know, extend the period of payments for them. Understand that. It might be that you need to do some serious checking and talking to them just to make sure that their businesses are sustainable, as hopefully yours is, before you do that. But be careful in what you give up.
Don, can I just mention something here? Customers must always accept at this moment in time that a lot of suppliers are going to be in a very fragile financial situation. And I think that people should understand that suppliers actually have a link behind them that you don't have as a purchaser. Yeah. And if you lose that link, if you lose their expertise, if you lose their connections, what you're saying is you may not find somebody who has got the same expertise and the breadth of facility or the breadth of stock to service your own business. So working with the supplier is absolutely exceptional, but you should understand that they are in difficult times themselves. Already they will have lost customers, And already they may well be in situations where there's debts outstanding that they may never get back. So it's important that you work with your suppliers to make sure that they're healthy and that they are secure.
Indeed. It's you always find that the best businesses are those that have some sort of ethical base to them. And that ethical base can be quite selfish in many ways. The very fact that you want to ensure that these businesses keep going, you know, make no mistake, you need them as much as they need you. And it is a case of everybody looking after each other. The only way you get through an economic crisis like this that is going to go on for a long time is to make sure that you keep everything that you require for your business to keep going, you keep that in a stable state. And that may well be that you have to compromise on timescales. It may mean that you have to accept, and this is an inevitable consequence of everything that's going on, you may have to accept that costs are going to increase. And if your supplier increases his costs, that doesn't mean to say, oh my goodness, I need to find somebody else that's cheaper, because there will be a knock-on cost effect of doing that. And so we need to be very careful. All supply chains are going to take a knock. We live in a global economy, and that global economy has been has produced incredible wealth for pretty much every business. Whether you buy cheap stuff from China, whether you have suppliers in Europe, those reliable supply chains have been what's made everybody wealthy. Now we're starting to see, because of the virus, we're going to have problems. And also, potentially, whatever happens with trade deals with Europe, that's going to be a problem. We may even find that, despite what everybody says about trade deals with America, there will be problems associated with quality and what we can get from there. So the key to it is to be careful and nurture. These businesses that we deal with, they're having trouble. Make sure that we can do what we can to help them.
Yeah, and I also think that people in a broader spectrum should consider that whilst we've had many large PLCs, big businesses make exceptional amounts of profits for their shareholders, they may well have to sacrifice bonus and shareholder profits in the long term. And that would have a major knock-on effect, because stock markets actually then sell off shares that are not providing good dividends to shareholders. So we could be seeing some major changes ahead. And if you're listening to this and thinking, oh, well, I'm just somebody who runs a small shop, don't make any mistake. These major decisions, these major choices, these major effects do have a long-term cascade effect down to your business, Dom.
I think that's true. If you are running a successful business, you need to be aware of everything that's happening in your environment. And the very fact that there's problems with stock markets, etc., it doesn't just affect your savings and pensions, but it starts to affect all aspects of business. And those larger aspects of business will be, some of them will be those that directly start to affect your supply chains. And if I might say, just extend that slightly, people need to be very, very careful about the timescales that they think. And certainly with stock markets and the international markets, they go up, they go down, but they eventually sort themselves out. And so the lesson from that for anybody's business is to make sure that you view everything over a long enough time scale. That's the key to survival. If you want resilience, you make sure that you look at things over not just a short term, but long term.
Yes, and the other thing is as well, if you're running a small business, you do truly need to contemplate how much you're taking from that business. And in difficult times, with the greatest and heaviest of heart, sometimes you have to make drastic curbs in one's own personal spending and literally say, I'm going to run at cost. I always think if you mirror your business to how you run your personal life, something magical happens. It's almost like there's a symbiotic relationship between how you're running your own personal finances and how you're running your business. It's like, you know, if you see somebody who's running a business and they spend a lot, like to have a new car, like to have a new house and everything, there's something got to pay for that along the line. And sometimes the businesses are not as strong as they should be. At this moment, you've got to be circumspect with every single penny.
Yeah. No, I think that very, very wise words. And I just extend that somewhat. Not only should you be careful about your investment decisions, and I would suggest that if you are looking at spending, make sure that you can see the consequences of that spending long term. So it's not just that short term, but is it worth me spending this money now? Will that help me in the long term? So when all of this rubbish is over, will I still see the benefits of that expenditure? And that leads me to another point, and this is an obvious point, but not everybody fully understands the analysis that I'm going to talk about now. And this analysis is all about understanding your costs. Now, there's two types of costs generally that we have in our businesses. One cost is what we call fixed, and these are costs which you have to spend or you have to meet. And regardless of what business you do, you will always have to spend that money. So whether it's rent, whatever that is, whether it's certain employees, they are fixed costs. You keep them regardless of what you do. Now, the other types of costs are variable costs. So the more activity you have, the more you have to spend on that. Many, many businesses, they don't have as many variable type costs as they think they have. Most costs are fixed, or probably what we often refer to as semi-fixed. We need a certain number of people to run our shop or whatever it is we run. But if it gets really busy, we need to increase the numbers on that, and the cost goes up in a straight line. So we need to understand how our costs work. So how low does our business have to come before we start to realize that we probably need to have less people? And that's an awkward decision. But we need a certain number of people, or we need a certain amount of floor space or whatever it is, until we start to see the activity go down. And that activity will go down, and we need to understand the level it goes down before we have to start to reduce our fixed costs, or when we have to start to increase our fixed costs if the activity goes up. So understanding how our costs work, so we don't hang on to more costs than we actually need to run our business at that point in time. But saying that, you also need to be careful that you don't, by cutting off a cost in the long term, that will have a detrimental effect, because this problem we have is not going to last forever. And so if we have key employees, as an example, those key employees, is it worth keeping them going? The furlough scheme helps considerably. Do we need to keep them going even though it causes us a loss in terms we may not be making any profit, or we might even be making a small loss? But will the cost of replacing them, or the cost of other staff seeing them being upset by what we're doing, have a long-term effect on morale, or perhaps have a long-term effect on even being able to replace them with the qualities that they have. So all of these things mean understand what your cost structure is, and then be very, very careful on what you do with your spending in the short term, which may mean that you're making a loss, but it may well mean that you need to carefully consider what you cut off and how you cut things off.
Dom, can I come in here? For a small one-man band or somebody, husband and wife team, or somebody who's just got a couple of employees, something of that nature, yeah. I would like to offer a suggestion to them that what they should do is to make a list, because it's very easy to try and work on the back of a fag packet and think, oh, well, that's my overheads for that, and that's what I owe there, and what's I owe there. Make a list, an A to Z list, and literally start off with your biggest overheads, your rent, rates, yes, electricity. Look at your bills. Don't guess it. Look at the bills, yeah, and see what you're actually accruing. Make the list. And when you've got the total, which I assure you will shock you, because you'll be putting in your car insurance, how much diesel or petrol you're burning. Absolutely. Even put your bus fares in. Let me tell you something. I go to the market every day and I've got a £42 monthly bus ticket. £42, multiply it by 12. You got £500.
Yeah.
Now, if you only earn £500 a week out of your business, £25,000 gross, that means that literally you've taken a week's profit or more out of your. Yeah. So you work for a whole of a week, go on the bus. If you don't get to grips with every single penny of your overheads, you're literally walking into a quagmire that will drown you. And the other thing I'd say is, when you have added that tally up, which will make you fall over and gasp your breath, yeah, add 10% to it, because if you do, then you've got it. And then what you do is you chunk it down to, if you're a one-man band, chunk it down to a daily expenditure. And that is the baseline of what you've got to be earning before you even pay yourself, Dom.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I said earlier on in the podcast that most businesses will go down, not because they're not making profits, not because they're not sustainable, but they'll go down because they haven't got the cash to cover what they need to cover. And that has been the history of accounting throughout time. Businesses, they fail because of a cash problem. And so what, Ian, you've just described there is the fundamental key to survival in what we are going through. And so that, what you've described, is a cash budget. And so this idea that you divide up, what you've suggested there is absolutely right. You may want to divide up the next, and I'm sorry to say this, but go to the first quarter of 2022. So have yourself a week for each of those, for each month, for each of the next year, and take yourself to the first quarter of 2022. Because this thing that we're going through is going to last and last. And even though it may well, and it could well be, that by the time we get to the middle of next year, things will start to be getting back to normal. But the reality of it is, financially, I don't reckon that we're going to be back to financial normal, if we ever do, by that first quarter of 2022. So this idea of understanding how your costs are going to be for that period, and do it, break it down into small little parts, so that you actually, and as Ian says, this will be a shock one in the little bits that you have problems with, and also it's going to be a major shock in terms of those key points in that time where you're likely to find that you just don't have the cash to meet your outgoings. That is going to be a problem. And I would suggest two things with this. Keep close to your accountant and keep close to your bank, because there is a very good possibility that you may need short-term loans or even something slightly longer to get you out of trouble. Now, as we stand, borrowing is incredibly cheap. I mean, at one point, the Bank of England was talking about negative interest rates, where even I'm not sure about how that would work. But getting money is not difficult, but you need to be aware to make sure that your cash flows are such that eventually you can repay that. So be very, very careful on understanding what your cash commitments are for at least the next year. That's going to be a critical thing.
Don, can I come in here on this one?
Yeah.
So the small business, you know, the husband-wife team, two or three employees and whatever. You've got to think about something very carefully. You've got to think about this so very deeply. If you are struggling, if you just got your head just above water and you're treading water and you've been doing so for a long time, if you are in a situation where you're considering taking a loan to keep yourself going, then I'd say to you, go into the coldest room you can and absolutely think with clarity, because the truth of the matter is if you've been treading water for a long time and you haven't generated sufficient profit, or you haven't reinvested your profit, or you've spent your profit, it may well be that if you take a loan out, you won't be able to service that loan anyway, and you can get yourself into deeper trouble. You need to think about this very carefully indeed. And if I may interject a little bit further, I'll speak about how Liz and I run our businesses, and we've got five of them. We work this way. Every single penny that we turn over goes into our bank, and I mean every penny. Not a one goes elsewhere. And then what we do is we know, because we have our ongoing accounts, we know week to week how much we've earned, and we always, absolutely every time, either reinvest 40% of our profit back into the business, whether that's stock or whether it's equipment, or into a savings account. And therefore, that leaves us a residue. And that residue, we make a choice whether we take a wage or not. Now, I know that some people couldn't live to those constraints. I understand that wholeheartedly. But never has there been a more important time than to really consider what you're going to do, because take a loan out today and you're going to have to repay it in the future. Dom's right. You can't possibly get a better time to borrow money. But bear in mind that we're seeing casualties. We're not only seeing business casualties, we're also seeing personal casualties where people are losing their jobs. I've no doubt that social charities will be reduced. I think that you've got to understand, if you're running your business, you've got to, at this moment, you have got to get to grips with every single facet, every penny, and listen to people like your accountant, like your bank, and to people who are successful.
No, I agree with that entirely, Ian. One of the key things with this is going to be is personal honesty. And what I mean by that is you need to, this idea of having this cash budget, to understand what's coming in and what's going out almost on a daily basis, and understanding how that's going to look over the next year. Now, you need to be brutally honest about this. One, whatever you do, do not overestimate the amount of income that you're going to get in. Never, ever do that. Always assume that your income is probably going to be less than you anticipate by a good 10%. And also appreciate that there will be some income, people that owe you money, that are never going to pay you back. Understand that and don't be unrealistic in your aspirations about, oh, I'm sure they'll pay me back. But it may never happen. So be hard. Be hard on your understanding of what's coming in. And then be equally conservative, sorry to use the phrase, but be very conservative on your costs. Understand that those costs are likely to go up and up and up. We're going to be in a position where we're reliant on so much that comes in that's going to cost more, and things will start to increase. As the government's, you know, your tax is going to go up, absolutely everything. So overestimate every cost that you have. Now, there may be, when you do this, and I think this is a realistic assessment you need to make, is my business sustainable? Now, if that business appears to be not sustainable, it's no good flogging a dead horse, and there may be a harsh decision to make. And that harsh decision doesn't necessarily mean that you go out of business. What that harsh decision may be is that you need to really look at what's going on and decide whether everything you're doing in that business makes sense. And it may well be that you need to start to change your business. You may need to start to develop it in a different way. Or you may have to consider, do I need to come out of this business completely? And that is for your own personal well-being. That may be something that has to be done. And a lot of people are going to have to make that very, very nasty decision.
Yeah. But can I just... I don't want to miss the point on this. So if somebody is listening to this, it may well be somebody's listening to thinking, you know, I'm in that very situation, Don. How do I approach it? I think I must point this out. I've had numerous businesses, and as Don Wells knows, I've caused a lot of people a lot of debt. I've never been personally bankrupt, but, I've taken advantage of limited liability laws. And don't forget, I'm 63 and I'm going back 30 years. Things were different then, and they were. And I've changed. My business has changed. I've evolved as a person. But let me tell everybody who's listening to this, if you run a small business and it can't keep itself above water, don't be ashamed of it. Never be ashamed. You have learnt so much from it. The next time you start, it'll be better every single time. But there is nothing wrong with saying, I'm going to call this a day. The most important thing is don't get yourself into personal debt. I mean, Don and I could do a whole podcast talking about limited liability laws and why it's an advantage to run a limited business, but that's too complex for the time we've got here. But the point is, if you're doing your accounts, if you're keeping your eyes on what's going on, if you have to cut corners, cut it. You know, if you've got to get rid of the £600 a month car finance, do it. If you've got to get rid of the second car, do it. If you've got to keep your iPhone for another 6 months or a year, do it. Every single thing you do will make it go, because I'll tell you a secret. It's all right running around in your £600 a month lease car and living in your £1,800-2,000 a month house. If that business isn't being able to sustain that money, then you won't have the car, you won't have the house. Get rid of the excess overheads and save the business. What do you think, John?
No, I think that's exactly right. And that's that point. Understand your cost base. What do you spend your money on? What can you do without? Then once you've done that, and you know, it's all about what your priorities in your life are. But absolutely right. If your costs are exceeding, you know, it's the basics of economics. If your costs are exceeding your income, you've got to either get more income, which is going to be difficult, or you've got to reduce your costs. And that's the key to it all. You know, there's an old thing to say, every penny earned is easier than saving £10. But you've got to cut your costs.
You've got to.
Understanding what costs are essential, what costs are not essential, and then jettison them and understand the timescales of those costs. It may well be that some costs, it's you have no choice but to keep paying them for a certain period. But understand what that period is and take that time to plan and say, okay, I can't get rid of that cost for 6 months, but in 6 months, it gives me time to plan on what the cheaper alternative is. There's no way around that.
No, and the other thing is, be careful of this word prestige when you're running your business. I'm certain, Don, that you will have known many, and I have. I've seen many a business that looks absolutely fantastic, lovely sign written premises and all sorts of things going on, and the owners have all this charisma and whatever. But when it comes down to it, they go bankrupt and they're gone.
Yeah.
And they spend so much money on prestige. I always say, put prestige into your accounts. How much is your prestige costing you? Do you really need to have that extra fantastic computer? Do you really need to have that sign written boarding out the front? I'll give you an example. Many years ago, I used to supply some materials weekly to a man called Mr. Solomon Liu. And he had a factory that made push together PVC flooring out of injection molding machines. I kid you not, if you went into that factory, it was a bloody, it was like going back to the Edwardian times. And it was right by the Thames in Poplar in London. And he had this factory knocking out these things. But I'll tell you something, he used to go there and his shoes were all worn and he drove a 1966 Austin Westminster car. This is fact, right? And his shoes were worn and his clothes were absolutely wrecked and he used to wear his Jewish hat and I adored the man. I absolutely adored him. And I was talking to him one day and he did something that was quite rare. He used to smoke because a lot of Orthodox Jews don't smoke and he used to smoke. And I was sitting next to him by the Thames outside of his factory one day. And I said, how long have you been here for? Oh, he said, I've owned this estate for nearly 40 years. And when I got to know him better, fact not fiction, I said, what do you do for your holidays, Mr. Liu? And he said, call me Abram. And I said, Abram, what do you do for holidays? He said, I've got a beautiful house in Lucerne in Switzerland. You know, don't be fooled by what people have got. Be careful with overheads with prestige, Dom.
Yeah, I think that's true. This idea of very often, as my dad used to call it, more sizzle than sausage with a lot of businesses, and that is so true. But I guess if you get anything from any of this, it's just be careful with your costs, understand them, understand when they're due, understand what you need to service them, understand the people that you're dealing with, who will actually give you a little bit of leeway, who won't. But there again, you have to be ethical and say, just because somebody will cut me some slack, don't take advantage of them, because they will remember all of these things. It's that, Ian talked to very nicely there about business ethics. And when all of this is over, people are going to remember who treated them well and who didn't. And that is something, that is a long-term issue that you just need to think about.
You do. And thing is as well with business, don't think that if you do somebody a good turn or you are right by them, don't think that it just stays with them, because people always talk about how you run your business. If you think you're running your business and you are a sharp practicer and you think you're being clever, make no mistake, the reason that people work with you is not because of the way you are, it's because they need your service. And ultimately, somebody else will come along and give a better service, do it in a better way, and you're in a bad situation. And this thing about ethic is interesting, because I remember earlier in the year when we were talking at Nottingham, at the Wellbeing Show at Nottingham, we stood and had a fantastic conversation. Yeah. And I said, Dom, do you think this thing about, because you see, you know that we actually profit is not our number one important factor of our business. Profit, surviving, paying a small wage, and making sure that we've got a good revenue of money is key to our business. But I find a lot of very, very good businesses now actually are working down this route of profit not being the primary task of the business. What's your feeling on that?
Well, the key to a very, very good business is sustainability. And one of the key things that if you went to your average business school and you signed up for your MBA, somewhere along the line, there will be a module on business ethics. And it's important to then link that with a thing called strategic reputation. And so the better reputation a business will have, the more likely it is to survive, because people, a big part of anybody's trade is their reputation. A good reputation, it has no weight, but if it did, it would be heavy and it would be worth that in gold. And so the way people behave in business, the way their reputation is developed, is very, very important. And what Ian has just described there is, for his and Liz's business, is that strategic reputation. People understand what the ethos is behind that business. They understand what they're doing. They want to be part of that because they know that that makes it sustainable, and they want to then profit from that. And that's how it works. And so certainly everybody has to understand that maybe for a long time they have to not earn a great deal, but if they want that business to grow and succeed, they have to make sure that they do the right thing, whether it's what you take out of the business. But it's key that people all understand that what makes that organization or that little business a good reputation. And that's the key to it.
It is. And the thing is, if you have a good understanding, you've got a good accountant, accountants aren't necessarily expensive because they're not fools. They're not going to overcharge you and say, oh, well, that business has just made £8,000. Net profit this year, I think I'll charge them 4,000, because they know they're not going to come back again. So a good accountant will always be fair. But the point is this: if you understand your business, if you understand your cash flow, understand your profit margins, understand your overheads, and really understand them, and you have a fixed figure in your mind, there is actually, if you're running your business properly, I think we need to talk about limited businesses for UK listeners next time, Don, but you can actually run your business and actually get benefits from the government to help you keep going. I mean, that's how magic it is in this country. So, you know, you can keep going. If you've got your business and you run it on a level footing and you've got legitimate books, you can actually find yourself actually benefiting from the state benefits which are available to you. So you can actually be paid by the government to run your business if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely so. And make no mistake, the tax rules in this country, we all moan about paying too much tax, etc. But they have been, over the years, very, very carefully designed to help people to run their own businesses and keep running them. And particularly in the current situation, this government wants to make sure that any business that is sustainable will keep going. I know it doesn't feel like that. I know it doesn't always look like that, but that's what they're trying to do. And I'm no great fan of our current government by any means, but they are doing everything they can to keep this economy running. And every business, they're trying to help out as much as they can. But, you know, by being ethical, by doing the right thing, by using your accountant properly to take advantage of what you can and what you cannot, that is the best for you and it's the best for everybody else. It's that doing what's right for everybody. It's the key to it. There's the two terms in ethical consideration is one is utilitarian and the other is deontology. And I apologize for throwing them in. Deontology is just doing the right thing. Utilitarianism is doing what's best for the most. And I think what every business ought to be trying to do now is to take that utilitarian view and do what is best for the most people, whether it's your employees, whether it's the people you live with, whether it's your customers. That approach is what, if it's best for the tax man, it's the right thing.
Yes, I agree. The point of that, though, is be circumspect. You should always help those who help themselves. If you've got a business and you're running your business and your household economy as well, you can't at this moment in time afford to help people who are not pulling their weight. And you, I don't care how hard that seems, unless you've got people pulling their weight, they need to be standing on their own two feet. Understand these are tough times. Understand that there are difficult times ahead. Understand that there are a lot of issues that we haven't even got the slightest conception of at this moment in time. The knock-on effect worldwide of this situation, we haven't got near to counting the cost. We really haven't.
And people are going to be paying for this for the next 40 years. That's the reality of it. One way or another, the next 30 to 40 years will be this problem. Now, the good news of this is, make no mistake, there's a lovely case study, and it's so lovely, I can't even remember the name of the company. It was either Honda... It's either Honda or one of the other Japanese motor manufacturers. And the concept of it was that how did some of these Japanese manufacturers become so, so good? And the reason they become so good was because competition in China post-war to run a business in Japan post-war was incredibly difficult. There was a lot of competition, and those that survived that competition in Japan, their businesses were so good, so lean, so efficient, they were going to do well anywhere. And it occurs to me that those people that can have a business that can survive this rubbish we're living through, they will be so strong. They will. Business people are being given a chance to learn all the best things about running the business from the worst possible environment. That's what they're being given the opportunity to do. Hopefully, everyone listening to this, their businesses will survive. But those that do survive, their businesses are going to be so strong, so good, that they have something that will see them through any other crisis that will come.
Yes, and I also think that many people will be looking at your businesses and be scrutinizing those businesses with a bigger magnifying glass, because there's so much time on their hands to be seeing what the businesses are doing. There will be people who will not be able to just jump back in because the whole mental dynamic of customers is changing.
Yeah, that's so true. Okay. If I can take that strand a little bit further in, if I may.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
This is talking now about business strategy in its widest sense. And there are three key points to a business strategy. The first point is understanding what your business is there for. What do you want out of the business? What's your aims of the business? Why are you running your business? And so you need to think about that. And Ian's very, very nicely given some nice pointers about his ethos for the Lysian businesses. And also you need to understand your resources. What are your strengths? What can you do? We've talked about cash and all of those types of things. The other thing that's critical and now is more important than ever is to understand your environment. And this is very nicely put by a lovely little phrase. You manage from the outside in. And so what, if you are running a business, you need to understand everything that's going on around you. This is not the time to bury your head in the sand and say, I'm just going to keep working and hope it all turns out for the best. That is not what you do. What you need to be doing is constantly monitoring your environment, understanding what's happening. Even are the numbers going up? Whether you believe that there's a crisis, a health crisis or not, that doesn't matter. But what you do know is if the official figures that are being published are showing that the rates of infection are going up, whatever you believe about that, that doesn't matter. What matters is that those numbers are going up and somebody in a government is going to get frightened and put a lock on something. They're either going to close down the economy or they're going to put restrictions. You need to be ahead of that game to understand what those restrictions are likely to be. You need to be working out scenarios in your mind about what do you do if this happens next week? What happens if that happens? How do I manage my business if they stop us doing that? So this idea of being completely aware of what's happening outside of your business is so, so important. When I used to teach strategy to large organizations, I often used to pick a company that had gone down recently. And the phrase I always used to say was, if the people running that business were supposed to be the strategic heads of that business, how come they didn't understand that oil prices were going to go up or this country was going to go to war with that one? How did they not plan for that happening? Now, if you are a sole trader, you must be doing the same thing. Don't deny what's happening. Look at what's happening and say, right, how do I survive if that thing happens? If they lock us down for another month after the 2nd of December, what does that likely mean to my cash flow? What do I do with that? So constantly monitoring that environment to understand, looking at things. Now, the other side of that is, and there is always a good side to everything, is that this will mean potentially that some of your competitors may not make it through. And if they don't make it through, what does that mean for your business when this starts to lift up again? It means that you potentially have new customers because they can't get satisfied by those that have not survived. It may start to mean that you see opportunities for new products, new services, or even new ways of delivering your services that you didn't have or you hadn't thought of, and you're being forced to do it. So be very open-minded about what those changes in your environment mean. But the key to it is to understand that environment, to not ignore what's going on.
I totally agree with that. And the point about this, to expand it a little bit further, is don't be afraid to investigate things that you don't resonate with or you are emotionally against. You need to be very circumspect about what's happening all around you. And as Dom said, the issue that people get is that they miss the most important things. For example, if I may use an evidential example, for us, our work, we do not see that it will be viable to organise markets, shows or events in small venues. Now, I see that as accurate from the observations that we've made. And I also accept that there are plenty of people who totally disagree with me. But what they're not doing is that they're not doing the research. We've got 8,500 people on a mailing list, which is alive, well, and thriving, and is opened by 28% of the people we send it out to. How do I know these figures? Because we research it. And the questions that we're asking are telling us that big venues with plenty of space is what they'll go to, and small venues won't. That's fact. That is the type of information you've got to get. You've got to dig in deep, and we accept it. We don't fight against fact. That's something I think people have got to understand. You're working about your environment. Don't work against something you can't fight against.
Oh, absolutely. So if you're surfing, you don't try and surf against the wave. You have to get on the wave and follow it through. And that's exactly it. You can't change what's happening around you. But what you can do is you can adjust your business so that you can take advantage of it.
And that is planning from the inside, from the outside in.
Absolutely so. That's how it works. And if you don't do that, you will not, no business will survive. There is not one business in this world that has not been able to change over time to deal with it. Those businesses, it's interesting. A lot of high street stores have had problems well before the pandemic, etc. But they weren't watching what was happening. And that's the key to it. The Lizzian event, I totally agree with what Ian is saying with regards to the bigger venues. There was a trend happening before the virus, go for bigger venues. It makes a lot of sense, etc. But now it makes even more sense to go for those bigger venues, which are safer. But then it's a case of understanding that environment. And then what you can then do is play on the environment to actually make what you do more useful for people. So the bigger venues, not only are they nice to go to and you can, and there's lots to look at and there's lots to do, but now it's safer. So the promotion for these things can actually then take on a new element. And it's looking at the environment. It's looking at how people feel. You know, lots of people currently on another lockdown, although I'm not sure how this one is going. On a lockdown, they sit there with not much to do. Mm. So whatever you can do to help that boredom or what have you, there's your business opportunity. Ian and myself were talking earlier on about having things done to our houses and what have you during this time. And of course, what do? You look at the environment, you see which people might be having problems having work. Now's the time to get things done because there's people around with spare time and their businesses need that extra work. So why not get it done now? So it's understanding your environment.
That is. Dom, we've spoken for an hour, believe it or believe it not. So I think we'll have to come back and talk some more about these ideas, because whoever's listening to this, listen to it with a free and open mind. You're bound to take things from these conversations which will really benefit you. To my mind, the lockdown can be used to absolute advantage. To my mind, you can do all the things. There should be no excuse for not having a sharp, pristine business, all your internet connections right, your websites all dealt with, your blogs and all of your posts should be absolutely pristine because you've got the hours to do it. You've got to make dedication. Wisest man told me something about business, never ever forgotten it. He used to say, success only comes before work in one place, and that is the dictionary. Don't forget it.
Yeah. If I might say, for those that are feeling a bit down about everything and their business is really not going well, is just think about Richard Branson. Richard Branson opened up numerous businesses that all went bust. He had everything from forests to goodness knows what.
Oh, yes.
And then he hit lucky with buying and selling records, and then he found a guy called Mike Oldfield.
Yes, he did.
And that changed it. His business, it started in one of the roughest times you could imagine.
And don't forget with Richard Branson, if you really dig deep into him, he's not all the smiles and everything that his persona projects. He's a very, very turned on, hard as nails businessman.
Oh, yeah. I, I have to say, if I can finish with a little anecdote.
Of course.
My father used to buy and sell animals. That was the big part of his business. And after he retired, I went round to see him one day, and I was speaking to my mother, and I said, "What's my dad been doing all day?" And he says, "Oh, he had this rabbit, and he's had this guy round, and they've been negotiating over selling this rabbit all afternoon." And that's what he did. His business was buying and selling, making deals.
Yep.
And that became what he was. And he couldn't stop doing it, even after he'd been retired about 10 years.
In the blood.
Yeah.
That makes me always remember another little saying I've always lived by, and Liz and I have lived by it for the last 16 years. It's the deals you walk away from are the ones that make you your money. So get your head around that, folks. Don Harradine, I can't thank you enough. I'm absolutely certain people are going to take a great deal of solace, and that is the word, solace. They'll have a bit of understanding of how to approach things a bit differently, but dig deep, and we will see ourselves through to 2021, no problem. Will you come back, Don?
Oh, it'd be a pleasure, and can I say thank you very much for inviting me to the podcast.
Couldn't get a better chap for the job. Thank you very much indeed. See you later.
Okay, bye-bye.